from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch, from scratch.
Welcome to this week's From Scratch. I'm Martin Cousins and...
My name is Nigel Payne.
This week, dear listener, we are talking about some research that has just been launched by the CIPD and Simply Health. And it's the research is in a report called Health and Wellbeing at Work Survey 2019. This is the 19th year this piece of research has run. So it's a long-standing piece of research, and it has, I think, respondents come from around 1,000 organisations. So it's a significant number of organisations representing, I think, 3 million employees. So Nigel and I have got up the infographic version of the report on our screens, and we can share that with you. And I think there's some just a couple of interesting, or maybe interesting, or maybe stats that are just the same stats that you would always see. Or is there something interesting in here or not? These are kind of things that are swirling around in my head. And my immediate thing here is that stress at work, top three causes, number one, workload and volume of work, 62%. Number two, management style, 43%. Number three, relationships at work, 30%. So management style is a significant, has a significant impact on stress at work.
And I would also say that management style would link directly to workload. So I think those two things aren't actually completely separate. They often
And they would overlap with relationships at work, I presume. As well,
also, that causes tension in relationships. Yes.
So this is not good, but then I was thinking, well, why? Why is this the case? Why is management such a big problem for organisations?
It's also true, Martin, that for decades we've had duties of care imposed on employers, so that there's a clear responsibility to look after people in the workplace, and driving them to the wall with massive workloads, having unsympathetic, domineering management styles, which say, do the numbers, that's all that matters, and the tensions that result around that. You could argue that it's utterly unacceptable in 2019, but it's no different, I wouldn't have thought, from 10 years ago.
It's completely unacceptable. It's just a huge failure of management and managers in organisations. Obviously, not everyone, but the fact that it's such a big issue says that organisations are not. Is there a design fault in the job? Is all I can assume. There's something fundamentally wrong with what a manager has to do, because the main part of their job, managing others, it seems to be the area that they fail on.
Yeah, but if you look at that, what isn't being said is that the reason why management style is a problem, and why pressure on direct reports in terms of workload is a problem, is that the managers themselves are under huge pressure to deliver for their managers. Their managers are under huge pressure to deliver for their managers. So what you're getting is a kind of ethos in the organization where the only thing that matters is getting the work done in the shortest time possible using the smallest number of people. And that percolates down from the top right the way through. And all the research evidence shows that is a zero-sum game, that something cracks. The organization creates massively disengaged workforce who will leave at the first opportunity to go somewhere that they hope will be a little better for them. So you're never going to get engaged staff. Therefore, you've got that automatic loss of productivity. And I would also argue that when you've got staff who are incredibly tired and under pressure, they don't do their best work anyway. So that something that can be done in an hour takes 2 hours. So the whole thing seems to compound itself and ends up with stress. But the other little bit on the infographic is mental illness. That the highest cause of long-term absence is mental ill health, not work-related accidents or acute medical conditions or even stress, but mental health. So stress links directly into mental health. So we're breaking people. We're destroying people's lives for the pursuit of objectives which are unsustainable. Surely someone is saying there must be another way. So I don't think it's the problem with managers. It's the problem with what is expected of organizations and how they are organized. And in a world where staff have greater autonomy and motivation, where when someone says, this is as much as I can do, it's taken at face value and not just said, yeah, but if we gave you a little bit more, you'd be able to manage, wouldn't you? And that we kept an eye on stress and mental health. Ultimately, you'd end up with more productive organizations. And the other little interesting fact from the infographic is only 50% say managers have been trained to manage stress, and 50% think managers have bought into the importance of well-being. And those two things are often related as well. That if you see everyone who isn't doing exactly what you want when you want as a shirker and a damn nuisance, and stress as something that is about growing up and bigging up and get on with it, then no wonder people don't understand well-being and the importance of it. And we end up in this kind of catastrophic downward spiral. And it worries me that at the end of the day, our lack of productivity in the UK, we're expecting individuals to make up for the lack of investment. And it's no coincidence that in the last couple of years, that investment in Britain, in British industry, in British productivity is the lowest it's been for 10 years before that. So companies aren't investing because of the uncertainty. And instead of recognizing that will mean that productivity stalls, they try and force it through by putting pressure on staff. And you end up with this really poor statistic. Having said that, one of the other things is that absence is at an all-time low at the moment, 5.9 days per employee per year. But it's also true that 83% of respondents say people work when unwell. So therefore, they're not taking time off because they're scared. They work when they're unwell, which means they obviously you don't give your best, which makes you even more unwell, which means you put under more pressure to deliver, and you end up with stress and mental health. So there's a vicious circle that has to be broken into somewhere. And it's all about the culture of organizations, I think. They're getting it wrong, and they won't continue to get it wrong for very much longer, because I think the distinction between high-functioning organizations focusing on well-being and low-functioning organizations focusing on workload will begin to widen dramatically in a knowledge economy.
So I think that's a very good assessment and analysis of the numbers that are in front of us on this infographic. I just, the thing that I don't get is why isn't the role of the manager designed purely and first and foremost around managing teams, not against doing technical work that you're also targeted against, just looking after teams? Because in other areas of life, a coach or a manager that is paid to help a team become more effective, that is a job in its own right. So what goes? Is it just the efficiency agenda in organizations that says we cannot employ people that only look after people, even though we know that if they are supporting a team, there might be some kind of correlation between that support and enabling better outcomes from the team? Is that ever likely to happen? Does it happen? Or am I just thinking?
If you take Well, if you take a company like WD-40, which is an exceptional employer, WD-40, all of the managers are not called managers, they're called coaches. And their sole function in the organization is to help the people who report to them live the values and deliver on behalf of the organization. So their job is to help their staff do the best they can, essentially, and stick to the values of the organization. And when they are reviewed, it's not Martin, tell me all the things you did. It's Martin, how did your team perform? And if the team did not perform optimally, then you are not performing as a coach. So there are other ways of doing it. You know, in Henry Stewart's Happy Company, no one is made a manager unless they choose to want to work with staff. So they're not promoted because they're technically expert. If they're technically expert and want to stay technical experts, they're perfectly able to do that in the company. The managers are the ones who are really interested in working directly with other people and helping them be their best. And that doesn't suit everybody, which is fair enough. No, it's not easy. People are always the problem. Everything would work perfectly if it wasn't for people. No, that is one of the joys and difficulties of being a manager. But where you take someone and say, Martin, you're really good at your job. By the way, we're promoting you and you've now got 25 staff. You just carry on doing your job, essentially, and bark at people occasionally if you think they're not going to do their bit and make you look an idiot.
So lots of food for thought here. We've probably gone way over our attempted limit of five or six minutes. But I think it's worth having a look at this report, if nothing else, just to hold a mirror up to your organisation and just to see what is happening for managers around stress, mental health, and how they are supported to support their teams.
Martin, I think every single organisation and certainly every single manager listening to this, and there are many thousands as we know, should be going to the cipd.co.uk site, downloading it and having a conversation about it and saying, how closely does our organization match these numbers? Mm. And if it does, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
It's a perfect opportunity to do that.
Great. Excellent. Let's leave it there, Nigel.
We will indeed. Good to talk to you, Martin. Thank you.
Likewise. Thanks, Nigel. From scratch.